we're going to go ahead, and people was asked about, well, Joni in particular. Just go ahead and finish out the Sunday school. She's getting bored with it, and she'd like to get it over with. No, I'm just saying. So we're going to just take up, so I hope you can follow, but we talked about like the battle of the ages and how that started with Adam, then it went to Noah, and they was to replenish the earth, fail. So God created a new nation, and that nation turns out to be the nation Israel. And so that's what we're going to take off, and we show where God created Israel. He created this nation, and they was to bring this earth under the domain of the Lord. And Gentiles was to come to the brightness of their rising. Now, we'll go back to Isaiah 60 just for a jumping off spot again. And I'll read in Isaiah 60. And in Isaiah 60, we'll begin read in verse 1. Isaiah 60, verse 1. And also, I'm going to go to in verse Zechariah, but we'll go to Isaiah 61st. Verse 1, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to the light, thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." Now, and the nations is going to serve them in that kingdom. And that's when they're going to arise. And we'll look at one other passage over in Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. And anyway, we find that, let's see, maybe I gave it wrong. Let's see. Let me find that. Let me get there first. I told you wrong. It's Isaiah 66. In Isaiah 66, verse 7, "Before she traveled, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." And so that's going to be in the future out there. So all I want you to see is God created Israel. And so this would represent the nation Israel. There are nations that are around about that, and them nations, according to God's purpose, plan, there was to come to Israel if they wanted salvation. They had the light. They will in the future over here, and that will be in that kingdom over here, and the nations of the earth will come to Israel because of their light, because of salvation, and on and on. But this back here, this Israel, failed. So God sent His Son, and His Son came into this nation. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. So they didn't. What'd they do to Him? They said, "We'll not have this man to reign over us. Crucify Him. Crucify Him." This man calls out 12 men, and he gives them a ministry, and they become a little flock. Now, I was going to read in Zechariah, but I'm not. Well, it talks about them being a blessing in Zechariah and how that they're going to take hold of one skirt of a Jew and saying, well, let me just read it. Verse 23, you probably didn't there. In Isaiah, in verse 13, he said, "And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong." Verse 23, "But thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." In other words, they know where God is. It's with them Jews. They're going to go with him. But this, they fell. They became idolaters. If you want to read about them, you can read about them when Jesus come up on the scene in Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, he talks about if you cut or sacrificed a lamb, as though you cut off a dog's neck and or head and all of that and gave him. In Malachi, he said you offered polluted stuff, lame stuff. You took the sorriest stuff and offered them unto me. He said, would you go give it to your governor? Would you go give it to your princes out there? Will they accept it? But you bring it to me. And so Israel, when Christ shows up in this 3.5 year ministry through here, Jesus Christ rebukes them. And he calls them Pharisees, hypocrites. He tells them all of this. So, and they take him to the cross and they nail him on that cross and will not have, but he has 12 men. Now look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus Christ gives a revelation there. Matthew 16, notice in verse... He says, "Whom do men say that I am?" In verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter goes on, verse 16, "Then Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Peter has a revelation about who Jesus Christ is from God the Father. People miss that all the time. Just as Paul had a revelation, Peter has a revelation about who the Son of God is, and it was Jesus. He said in verse 18, "But I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock his profession of who Christ was." Who was Christ? He was the Son of Almighty God. He said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, in verse 18, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, I know the gates of hell are in hell. I know the gates of hell are in the center of this earth. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But I will get some more of that later. I want you to see that he's formed a church. Out of these 12 men, Peter has the revelation and that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the foundation for this church. There is a church there, and that church is an assembly. And it's a Jewish assembly, and it's based upon believing that Christ is the Son of Almighty God, and they would submit to a purifying ceremony, which is going to be water baptism, to get into that church. Now look with me. He goes on, turn over with me, and notice this church. Turn to Matthew chapter 22, I believe it is. in chapter 22. Might be 21, it is. chapter 21. In chapter 21, verse 43. Therefore say I unto you. Now he's talking to the leaders of Israel, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders of that nation that he came to. The leaders of this nation here, Israel, back here. This is Israel. 12 tribes back here. That's them. That's who he came in there. Now notice what he said. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Then this church is going to turn out it's a nation. This church back here was a what? It was a nation. And it was also called a church. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen says it's the church in the wilderness. A church. This nation here was a kingdom of what? A kingdom of priests. Now, representing the Lord. Look in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Just simple stuff till we get where we're going. In Luke chapter 12. Notice what he says there in verse 31. Luke chapter 12, talking to the 12 apostles. He says in verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the what? Who does the Father give the kingdom to? The little flock. Well, who's the little flock? Huh? Who's he talking to? The 12. They're the little flock. He's going to build his church. They're a nation. And it turns out they are a priesthood that represents God on this earth. And Peter says that. In fact, look over in 1 Peter. While we're thinking about it, look in 1 Peter. Maybe if it's not for you, maybe it'll help maybe somebody listening to the tape. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter writing. Notice who Peter writing to. In verse 1 of chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. And those are the scattered strangers, and they're scattered in Acts chapter 8, and they're scattered by Saul of Tarsus. Persecution. Paul, Saul, persecuting that church. And he writes verse 5, in 1 Peter 2, 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy what? Priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy what? Nation. Do you realize you're not a priest? You know what Paul says you are? He says you are an ambassador for Christ. He said this is a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The body of Christ is not a nation. There's neither Jew nor Gentile in the body of Christ, male nor female. We are not a nation. Our identity is no national identity. It's the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look on, go back there. He said, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so this nation sets out. Okay, this new nation, God promised them the earth. He promised them a city. These back here that followed God looked for that city. And they looked for the earth. Land. And a city. Now, I want you to turn with me and look in Acts and notice at this time where salvation is. Look in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Notice in verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we are saved. Is that what it says? What does it say? He said, given under no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look over with me in Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11. And notice in Acts 11 verse, let's see. Well, that's Acts 10. I can't find it in Acts. Notice in Acts, let's see, verse 14. Who shall tell thee words? This is Peter giving an account now. Verse 14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? And as began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. For then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now tell me something. Why would Peter remember the baptism with the Holy Ghost concerning Cornelius if Cornelius didn't get the same baptism that Peter and them got in Acts chapter 2? Y'all follow what I just said? It has nothing to do with being baptized by the Spirit. It's baptized with the Spirit, and it's through the name, that name. Notice in Acts chapter 8, in Acts chapter 8, in Acts chapter 8, notice when he's talking to an Ethiopian there, verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? Well, how did he know anything about water baptism? Well, he had to read it somewhere, and Philip had to preach it to him, didn't he? Huh? I mean, he just didn't fall out of the sky and hit him in the head. Oh, I need to be baptized. He read it. He heard it. He heard somebody preach it to him. Verse there, he said, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and was buried, and God raised him the third day for my justification. Did he say that? What did he say? He said, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the same profession, the same rock, the same foundation that Peter was revealed to Peter back here in Acts 16, and that is how they get into that church, is by confessing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and submitting to water baptism. It has nothing to do with you today. Now, by the way, while we're talking about this, you know who died for these people back here? To redeem them? A lamb. You know who died over here to these people? Peter said, a lamb. You know who died for you? A man. The man Christ Jesus. He was your sacrifice. Totally different. But yet the religious system wants to jumble it all up and confuse everything. Why? That's Satan's attempt to stop God's program for today. And that's what I want to get to. So Jesus Christ came in here for this nation, for these nations, the sins that are in the past. For this nation, He died on that cross. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." But God had a secret. These people get the earth, they get the land. For bringing the Son in, God made them promise to bring in that seed in. But what was the real purpose of Jesus Christ coming into the world? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And notice in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Who did He love? Well, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." Who did Paul say He loved? Who did he say He gave Himself for? Did He not give Himself for the world? The world. Folks, Paul's dealing with, he dealing with the world. He's dealing with the church, the body of Christ. Now look at this thing about it. So, look while you're there in Ephesians, turn back to chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him," when? "Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. "Then God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world." And it don't matter. You do with that whatever you want to do. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God had something in mind back here before He ever made the foundation of this world. But He couldn't reveal it. He could not tell it to nobody. And we'll look at that in a moment. But notice in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, and notice in what he says there, Paul, verse 1, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." He promised eternal life before the world began. Well, who in the world did He promise it to before the world began? Well, I know He would have promised it to Jesus Christ. But who was chosen in Christ before the world began? The church. God promised eternal life to the body of Christ to Christ himself and the body of Christ before the foundation of the world. So he had something in mind. Now, he began. So this right here, back here, you have Adam. I'll just let that represent Adam. You have Noah. And you have Abraham. And God Almighty told them to go out and replenish the earth. Go out and replenish the earth. God destroyed this earth. He separated and they failed at all attempts. God told Abraham, so he said he just created a new nation here. That nation falls. That nation crucifies his son. He creates a new nation here. And that new nation will be carried on into the kingdom out here doing what God wanted them to do on this earth that these wouldn't do. But here's the thing. What happens through the fall of Israel? They fall. And so God had a secret. He had a mystery. Now look at this thing, the one new man. Turn with me and look in Galatians. I'll start there. This is Galatians chapter 5, just to give me a jumping point. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, notice what he says in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now look what he says there in verse 5. In Galatians 5, verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a hope. And that hope is that we're going to be clothed physically in righteousness just like He has made us righteous. But all of this was a mystery hid in God from the foundation of the world. And my time, I've got to hurry on, so I'm just going to go on back. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll get back to that hope of righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice what he says in verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Then the mystery here has to do with the gospel, and that gospel is the gospel of the grace of God, and that gospel is the good news that Paul calls my gospel. And so this mystery here has to do with the church, and we call it the one new man. This church, this one new man, is a created being. Just like He created a nation back here, He recreates a nation over here, He today is creating a man. Now, Satan defiled. He wants to stop God's will. He wants to destroy God. He wants to bring God down. the battle of the ages is every time God makes a move, Satan counters it, and vice versa. And they're going back and forth. Now, we know who's going to win. But Satan does not believe this Bible. He does not. He knows this Bible. He just don't believe. He doesn't believe God will do what He said He'll do. And so he corrupts the human race. He corrupts it again. And God finally forms a new nation. All of the nations outside of the nation Israel have to come to Israel for salvation. They're cut off. God forms a new nation, and that new nation has salvation. If people in Peter's time wanted to get salvation, they'd have to submit, and they'd have to come and do as they said do, be baptized, believe that He was the Son of God, and on, they'd be Jewish proselytes. They would bless the seed of Abraham. But Satan comes in. He's always a-battling. And he scatters them through Saul. And God saves the arch enemy, Saul, and begins a new man, which turns out to be God's purpose back here before the foundation of the world. To be in the heavens. Now I want you to think with me, and so here's where it's going to get. So put on your thinking caps and let's go with it. Satan desire. Look back and Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And it has to do with the king of Babylon, but the king of Babylon is not a man. It's the person that's behind the man, so to speak. That's who he's talking to. Turn back to chapter 4. Look in verse 4. Isaiah 14:4. And thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. Well, that's who he's talking. Now come on down to verse, he goes on to verse, verse 9, 8. Well, the golden city ceased. Verse 5, the Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, that be the Antichrist, the scepters of the rulers, he who smote the people in the wrath and continues with a continued stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Well, I know that's the kingdom. Verse 8, yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Now watch verse 9. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to greet thee at thy coming. Well, this guy's going to hell, and hell's moved to greet him. It stirreth up the dead for thee. Well, the dead is in hell. Everybody with me? Even all the chief ones of the earth, that'd be their leaders. It is raised up from their thrones. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They're down there. Hey, you know, I don't know many leaders of nations that are saved. Do you? Now you gotta be kidding me if you think the one leading this is saved. I don't know many that are, but look what he says, verse 10. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? art thou become like unto us? Whoever this character is, they realize, hey, you like us? You're weak? Verse 11, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows. That has to do with music. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven? Who? O Lucifer. So I know from verse 4 on who he's talking to. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, here's his will. Five times he says, I will. And he's not saying it like he's requesting it. He's saying it like a defiant. He's saying like somebody, you're not going in there, and they look at you and say, I will go in there. In other words, over you, if I have to. That type of I will. Now look at it. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They shall see thee, shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee. In other words, they're going to just... look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Do you know what? If Satan can defile God's purpose, if he can, only way he can do the I wills that he said he was going to do is by destroying God's word, keeping God from doing any part of what he said he'd do, then that would make God a liar and all would crumble. The people in hell are hoping that Satan can defeat God's purpose. You see what they say in verse 17? That open not the house of his prisoners. That's their hope. That Satan. So what's he doing today? You know how he corrupted the earth by care? How he brought in the human race? Look at our day that we're living in now. So what's he trying to stop over here? If he can stop the body of Christ from being completed, then that does away with it all. How is he stopping the body of Christ from being depleted? He's by religion, by preaching false doctrine, by preaching false gospels, by offering a false Christ, by offering different things that blinds people to the truth. If he can stop the body of Christ from being completed, then he stopped God. Don't y'all get it? Everything that God, the battle of the ages today, there's a new man that's being formed. The people in hell, they don't repent. They're not saying, oh, I wish I could have, oh, I want to be saved, Lord. No, you know what they're doing? They're going to do just like their father did. Look with me in Revelation. Look in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 20. People's got the idea that people in hell, The people in hell don't have that nature that you've got right now. They don't have that hope that you have right now if you're in here lost. You know, the people in hell, they have the same ideas and the same ideology as Satan does. They change. Look in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Notice in verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of that on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. All right, come down with me to verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests unto God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. All right, he's in there for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, a suffering. You'd think he would know better. You'd think he'd learn his lesson, wouldn't you? You'd think he knew God had power to bind him. That one angel comes down with a chain and binds him and casts him into the bottomless pit and put a seal on him that he can't, so God lets him out. What does he immediately do? Does he go to the Father and say, I'm sorry, I don't want to go back there. Don't send me back there. Come on, read the next verse. He said, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. Well, who's he going to battle? He's going back to battle God. Why? He believes he can defeat him. He believes all he has to do is get God to not do one little thing, and then all of it's over. He thought he had him defeated here. He thought he'd corrupted the seed by care. He thought that he had him come over here. He found out there's the seed. He takes him up on a mountain. He tempts him 40 days a night. He's hungry. And he says, command that these stones be made to bread. One thing, one slip up. Christ has to slip up one time and it's all over. And he thought, I know how I'll get him. I'll kill him. I'll kill him. And so he how's that crowd out there, and they holler, crucify him, crucify him, put him to that cross. And yeah, and they crucify him, and they're rejoicing. Jesus said in Psalm 22, when he's looking down around that cross, he said, the bulls of Bashan compass me about. He's seeing all the demoniac forces. He's seeing them make fun of him. He's seeing them, we're victorious. I can hear hell in hell. Oh, we're going to get out of here. He's defeated the Son of God. But God had a purpose in mind and a mystery in mind. And Jesus Christ died. I can see him, thank God. I can see him now. And as he goes down into the heart of the earth, you know what I believe? He goes into hell. And he's suffering the flames in hell until the accepted time. There was a certain length of time in hell, and God said, it's enough. I've heard you. And that's why Paul quotes the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. That's a reference in Isaiah 60, 40 some. I can't remember the exact. Maybe it's 25. But he said, I've heard thee in the accepted time. Today I'll give you aid. I'll succor thee. And God said, it's enough. And he comes up out of hell and he goes up there, and I believe he enters there into the spirits of the prisons there. And Peter said he preaches unto the spirits that are in prison. And I believe he's saying to them, you're not going to win. You're not going to defeat us. You're not going to change us. And he goes on up, and on the third day he comes out. And he goes on up and he leads a group of people that's not even existing except in the mind of God. And it turns out that the great deception was Satan deceived himself, thinking if I kill him, I've won the victory, when in fact it opened the door for God to give forgiveness of sins that are past and also to create a new man that he's doing today. Had they known that this church here was going to occupy their positions out there in the heavens someday, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so, Satan comes over here when this church is completed. Today, he's trying to keep it from being completed. How many people do you know the gospel? How many people do you, preachers, do you know that preach the gospel of the grace of God to get people saved? I'm talking about preaching the pure gospel without adding anything to it. Just simply believe the gospel and you can be saved. Not very many. There are not many people getting saved. But that's not going to be. God will have somebody to bring that message. And when that body is complete, we're out of here. The Antichrist is going to show up, and there's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble. And Satan's going to be kicked out of the heavens out there, and he's coming down to the earth and going to gather them up to fight against him that setteth in the heaven. I believe we can win, boys. But he doesn't. Folks, you know why? God's secret was you. He wanted you in the body of Christ. So he formed a nation to get his son into the world. He didn't take his son out of the world. He formed a nation that brought his son, his seed, into the world. And all while, the secret, the mystery, was to save you that are in here. Israel was a means to get his son into the world to die for those over here. And he offered them forgiveness and a kingdom and an earth and made promises to them. Now my last verse. Oh, by the way, turn while you're there in Revelation. Look back in chapter 16. You think people repent because of pain and wrath? Look in verse 10 in Revelation 16:10. I'll go back in verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. The fifth angel sounded and poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. And they repented and said, God, forgive me, I'm sorry for my sins. Take away this pain. No. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. In hell, they are not repenting. They don't have no power down there to change their mind. Their hope is Satan somewhere will defeat God. Now, don't play into his hands. Every time you get a chance, talk to somebody about your Lord. Give them the gospel. Tell them to be saved. And I'm not going to go on, but he doesn't believe that he's going to be defeated even after he spends 1,000 years. So why should he quit now? That's the battle of the ages up there. And someday, he'll be cast into the lake of fire and be tormented day and night with all of his children. You see, if God is not your father right now, then Satan is. Right now you have the choice. Right now you have the opportunity. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Trust that for your salvation. Turn your salvation, your eternal destiny, over to Him, believing that He died for you. And He was buried, and God raised Him. God accepted the sacrifice that He offered for you. And there's nothing you can do to be saved except believe what God did for you. And once you believe that, then you become a part of this new man. And you become saved by God's amazing grace. I held you a little long, but that was the way it